For those of you who haven't been with us for the last couple of weeks, right now we're in the middle of a conversation about this thing that we call prayer, this thing that it seems at some point or another is a part of every single one of our lives, and yet so very few of us actually understand. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking through this idea and diving into this question that maybe this idea of prayer is more than what we thought. Maybe our experience of prayer is not everything that it could be. And last week, as we walked out of here, my challenge to you was to spend a week in prayer, in this conversation with God, without asking God for anything, leaving the requests completely behind. And it was a really exciting week for me because as we went through the week, I got email after email after email of people who were writing to tell me about what was happening in their conversation as they were doing this. Most of the conversations started off like this. I thought you were crazy, which probably is where a lot of you were. I thought you were a little bit crazy with this, but I decided to try it anyway. And all of a sudden, the conversation is beginning to really change. And for several people, they communicated very clearly that, man, I'm enjoying this so much more as I'm beginning to actually talk to God like we have a relationship. And the thing that I've been challenging you with and the things that we've been talking through is the fact that maybe this idea of prayer isn't just about requests. And my challenge to you last week was founded in this verse that we looked at where Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6, it starts in verse 7, but he gets to it in verse 8 where he says, listen, don't be like those around you that you see praying who just say the same things over and over and over again and continue to ask God for things. He says, don't be like them. And Matthew 6, 8 says, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. And so as this conversation throughout the last couple of weeks has been developing, we've been seeing that maybe this isn't about what we thought it was about. Maybe the purpose of this isn't what we thought it was. And for some of you, you're beginning to experience that, and it's incredible. For others of you, you walked out and you walked through this week and you began to practice this. Maybe you trusted me with this. Maybe you didn't trust me with this. But as you began to interact with this, you began to ask questions like, well, wait a second, I thought we were supposed to pray for things. I mean, I thought the Bible tells us to pray for people. I thought that we were actually instructed to pray about things that are happening in our lives, in other people's lives, and in the world around us. And you're right. As a matter of fact, I'll just share with you a couple of verses that speak directly to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will be spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings. And he continues to go on telling them, you should be praying about things. James 5, 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power. He's telling them to pray about things. Now, for some of you, that last verse, you think, well, that's not me. A righteous person, a holy, that's not me. We're going to talk about that in this next series, and I'm telling you, it's going to be incredible and how that verse applies to you, even though you don't think that it does. But what we're saying here is that when you begin to dive into God's Word, the question that you're asking is the right question because He does tell us to pray for things. And so for some of you, as you began to put this into practice last week, you're like, wait a second, how does this work? Because you're telling me that Jesus says to not be praying for things all the time, and then at the same time I see God's Word telling us to pray for things. How does this balance out? How does this work out in this conversation? And I think it's crucial that you understand that when we see Jesus Christ say this, where he says, listen, don't let your conversation be consumed by request, he's not telling you never to pray for things. And the point isn't to leave the requests behind forever. The point is that the requests are not the purpose. And what he's trying to help us understand is that, listen, you're going to fall into, and it's really easy for you to fall into the trap of thinking that this whole conversation with him is about you bringing requests, but that's not the point. That's not the purpose. That isn't the reason that we have this conversation. Because as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, He's calling us to something bigger, something better. He's calling us into this new relationship where the conversation becomes not just about, okay, God, what can we get from You, but God, how can we experience You? And embracing Him as our Father and as our Dad, and walking into this conversation to get to know our Dad, and our Dad experiencing and loving us. And the point of this past week, and the point of what Jesus shares with us, is not that, okay, requests are no longer going to be part of the equation. That's not the point. The point is that they're not the purpose. This isn't the priority. The relationship is the priority. And I want to make sure that we're all on the same page with that. And last week we talked about how this relationship begins to drastically change the conversation. It changes almost every aspect of the conversation. Because if it's no longer me talking to my God, if it's me talking to my Dad, then it changes the tone of the conversation. It changes the words that I use inside the conversation. It changes the content of the conversation. I love the way that Ryan said it after the service last week when he was talking about this. And he said, God, You've given us this opportunity to just shoot the breeze with You. I loved the way that he phrased that. It changes the content. We don't just talk to God about our spiritual lives. We talk to God about our entire lives. We share with God the significant and the insignificant because He's our Dad. And so we've begun to see how this changes things. But that's just the beginning, because it changes everything. And this week, as you go back into this conversation, and as you kind of come off this week of not asking God for anything, and you begin to bring requests before Him again, I want to talk about the fact that if we embrace this, it actually changes the requests as well. Not only does the tone change, not only do our words change, not only does the content change, but the requests will drastically change if we believe that we've been adopted as His sons and daughters, if we believe what Romans 8:15 says, that so you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. And before you begin to step back into these requests, I want to talk about how, if you're going to embrace this, the requests are going to change. And I want to show you today three reasons why those requests are going to change inside that conversation. And as you walked in today, you received a program. Inside that program, there's a little notes card. And I want to encourage you to take that out and to jot these three things down, because this is something that I believe you're going to have to remind yourself over and over and over of as you begin to engage God in this new conversation as your Father. And three things that I believe are going to radically transform the requests that you bring before God as you realize how this relationship influences those requests. And there's three reasons why the requests change. The number one reason why the requests change once you step into the relationship with Him as your Father is because you're going to begin to see what your Dad's doing. You're going to begin to see what God's doing. You're going to begin to experience what Jesus Christ experienced and what we see Him talking about in John 5:19, where Jesus says, so Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He does only what He sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. He says this about what He does. He says this about what He says. He says this about where He goes. He says, listen, I only go where I see the Father going. I only say what I see the Father saying. I only do what I see the Father doing. And so in Jesus' life, we see that God, that He's beginning to see what His Father is doing. And therefore, it influences the decisions that He makes. It influences the choices that He makes. It influences the direction of His entire life. And the same thing is going to be true for you. This is what's driven this entire series for us, right? This idea that you could actually begin to hear from God. That this idea of prayer is not just a one-way conversation, you talking to Him, but He begins to actually talk to you. We've been looking at this promise that Jesus Christ gives us that we find in John chapter 16, verse 15, where He says, all that belongs to the Father is mine. He's talking about His family. He's talking about people. He says, this is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from Me. So Jesus says to His followers, listen, I'm going to go away, but the Spirit is going to come, and you're going to experience what I experienced, where you're going to know what God is doing because the Spirit is going to begin to tell you. And as that happens, it's going to begin to inform your decisions. It's going to begin to inform the way that you live your life. And for us, as we're headed down this journey, as we're walking down this path together, when you begin to embrace this conversation with God as your dad, and you begin to walk into your prayer time, not so that you can go through your list of requests, but so that you can build the relationship, all of a sudden you're going to begin experiencing what Jesus Christ talks about here. And God's going to begin to lead you. Now, the key word here is the word begin. And so if you wrote that down in your notes, I want you to underline that word begin. Because this doesn't happen instantly. And even as I prepared for this series and for this conversation, I began to think through and pray through, okay, God, what do You want me to share with them about this idea of prayer? When I began to talk through with Him this idea that, listen, I want You to share with them that they can actually hear from Me, it terrified me. Because I knew that if I told you this, for a lot of you, it was going to become extremely frustrating. Because I know from my own personal experience that this doesn't happen right away. I know from my own life and the years that I've lived engaging God in this conversation that it takes time before you begin to really hear God's voice. It takes time before you begin to come to the point where you can actually trust that. It takes time. It takes time just waiting. One of the things that the Bible talks about that we mentioned in the first week of this conversation is that this means if we're going to be in this conversation, if we're going to engage God this way, we're going to have to wait for Him. And so part of me didn't want to even go here because I knew for a lot of us it was going to be really frustrating. But as I continued to pray through it, I felt like God was saying, listen, don't sell them short. Don't bring to them something less than what I have in store for them. And so what I want for you to grasp as we walk through this is that this is possible, but I also want you to understand that this takes time. And that this isn't going to be that tomorrow you wake up and you go into your time with God and instantly God begins to show you exactly what He wants you to do and instantly He begins to show you exactly where He wants you to go and instantly He begins to tell you what He wants you to do. That's not how it works. Now, in some ways, we can begin to know faster than in others. Because the truth is that this book is filled with God's word to you about what He wants you to do and what He wants to see happen in your life. Just just this past week, as we've been, one of the things that we've been doing here at Hoboken Grace is we've been reading through the Bible together. We're trying to read through the entire Bible in 1 year. If you're not on board with that, you can be receiving emails with this daily Bible reading. And in the weekly email, there's a little link to that for you to be able to sign up for that if you aren't already a part of that. But even this week, in our daily Bible reading, there have been numerous times where we've seen that God is beginning to show us what He's doing and what He wants. For the past, I think, about a week and a half to 2 weeks, I've been coming in every morning to the office and reading through the daily Bible, that daily Bible reading, and then taking one of those verses where God is showing me, listen, this is what I'm doing, and this is where I'm going, and I've posted those to Twitter or Facebook. I don't know if you guys have seen those. But in some ways, for each and every one of us, we can begin to know what God's will is tomorrow, as we begin to take in His Word. And then on top of that, as you continue in this conversation, all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself in situations where God's Spirit is going to begin to use His Word and use the people around you and use the circumstances in which you find yourself to talk to you and to lead you and to guide you. It's not something that's going to happen tomorrow, but it is something that Jesus has told us is possible. And it's something that I've experienced. And I'm telling you, you can experience as well. And when that begins to happen, when you begin to fill your life with His Word, and you see what He's doing, you see what He wants, and you begin to hear His voice, and you begin to experience Him moving in your life, the requests are going to change. The requests are going to change because you're going to want to do what He's doing. And you're going to want to see happen what He wants to see happen. Because not only are you going to see what God is doing, but number two, the reason that the requests are going to change is because His will is going to become a priority, become the priority. In this prayer that Jesus Christ gives His followers as He's teaching them how to pray, He starts off with this verse that we've been kind of focused on at the beginning of this conversation, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." Then He says, "Your kingdom come," and He goes into this line that's crucial, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He says, listen guys, if you're going to begin to engage God the way I engage God, then His will is going to become the priority. Because when He becomes your dad and you begin to build this relationship, you begin to trust Him more and more and more. And the more you experience Him and the more you experience His love, the more you step into this relationship as His son or His daughter, the more you're going to trust His will. And the more you're going to begin to believe that, you know what, if God's will happened in my life would be incredible. If God's will happened in our community would be incredible. Now, we don't all believe that. A lot of us would say that. We don't necessarily believe it. But the more you experience God as your Father, the more you're going to believe that. And His will is going to become the priority. You're going to see what He's doing, and that's going to become what's most important. That's going to be what you trust. There's an interesting story in God's Word about this idea of trusting His will over our will. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 20, and it's a story of a king named Hezekiah. And Hezekiah, before we begin this story in chapter 20, is actually an incredible king. He's an amazing king for the nation of Israel. He does all sorts of things to lead people back to God. He follows God almost his entire life, and he loves God and he trusts God. And you see this showing up not only in his personal life, but you see this showing up in the life of the nation. And the nation is trusting God. The nation is following God. We see God do all these amazing things as Hezekiah is leading this nation. But then we get to 2 Kings chapter 20. All of a sudden, Hezekiah receives some really disturbing news. I want to read it to you now. It starts in verse 1. It says, "About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill. And the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to visit him. He gave the king this message. This is what the Lord says. Set your affairs in order, for you are going to die. You will not recover from this illness." And so God comes to Hezekiah through the prophet and says, listen, this is what my plan is, and I'm giving you the heads up so that you can get everything in order, so you can get prepared for what I have in store for you. You're going to die. This is the end for you. We've accomplished what we wanted to accomplish, and this is going to be the end, and so you need to get ready for it. But Hezekiah does what a lot of us would do. The story continues. It says, "When Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, O Lord, how I have always been faithful to you and have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you." Then he broke down and wept bitterly. And so Hezekiah, like most of us would, turns to God and says, "God, please, please, please let me live." And even references the fact that, man, in his entire life, he's been following God and serving God. And all these amazing things have been a part of this relationship that he has with God. And so, astonishingly, we see in the next verse, "But before Isaiah had left the middle courtyard, this message came to him from the Lord. Go back to Hezekiah, the leader of my people. Tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you, and 3 days from now you will get out of bed and go to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will rescue you and this city from the king of Assyria. I will defend the city for my own honor and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Make an ointment from figs." So Hezekiah's servant spread the ointment over the boil, and Hezekiah recovered. Amazing. Right? I mean, what an awesome story of God answering prayer. But you know what the problem was? It wasn't God's plan. It was Hezekiah's plan. And God gives Hezekiah 15 more years. And in those 15 years, Hezekiah destroys everything that he had built his entire life. You see, God knew, Hezekiah, it's time. But rather than trusting God's plan, rather than saying, okay, God, whatever your will is, whatever you think is best, that's what I want, Hezekiah said, no, God, I want you to do my plan. And God said, okay. And not only does Hezekiah destroy his own life, he destroys the life of his family. His son turns out to be the worst king that the nation has ever had. He leads the nation to turn away from God. He destroys everything. Because he didn't trust him. And when we begin to say, okay, God, I'm going to embrace you as my father. I'm going to trust you that you're my dad. And we begin to build that relationship. We're going to leave this behind. We're going to leave behind this idea that, okay, God, I want you to carry out my plan. We're going to begin to understand more and more every day that we don't want our plan. We want his plan. Because his plan is better. It's going to change our requests. because we're going to stop asking God that He would carry out my plan. And our priority is going to be His plan. Because we trust Him. And then number three, once His plan becomes a priority, our requests will no longer be driven by, okay, what do I think is best? But our requests will become driven by our dependence upon Him to carry out His plan. Because as this relationship develops and you begin to see what His plan is, you begin to see what His will is, you begin to see what He wants to happen, all of a sudden you're going to begin to pray that that would happen. You're going to begin to pray, you know what, God, I pray that Your will would be done in my life the way that it is in heaven. I pray that I would begin to experience You and follow You the way that I was created and designed to experience You and follow You. And all of a sudden, it's going to become less important that our grandmother is healed and more important that our grandmother experiences God. And I can tell you, one of the number one ways we know that in this conversation we're probably not getting it is that far too often we're praying for people to be healed instead of praying for people to come to know Christ. Whose plan is it that people would be healed? It's usually mine. What does God want? God wants people to come to know Him. We know that. And as this relationship builds, we begin to trust Him. And we see what He's doing and we see what He wants. And that's what we want. But we realize that, you know what? I can't do it. God, I see what You want in my life, but I'm weak. I see what You want in my life, but I'm struggling. God, I see what You want in my friend's life, but they're struggling. I see what You want in my community, but our community's falling apart. I see what You want. And so, God, I pray that You would act. I pray that You would intervene. And it will no longer be, God, can You please carry out my plan? It will be, God, can You please help me carry out Your plan? And we see a complete 180 when it comes to this idea of requests. Because we come and we sit at the feet of our dad. We experience His love without question. And we want to see happen what He wants to see happen. This week, we begin to step back into this conversation. But the requests can't be the same. And we need to begin to look at this and say, okay, wait a second, God, am I praying that You would accomplish my plan? Or am I praying that You would help me accomplish Your plan? Because that's what I want. This thing we call prayer, it's something very different than what we thought. It's something so much more beautiful. And guys, this is just the beginning. And as you continue to walk this journey with your dad, He's going to begin to blow your mind with how personal He wants this to be. Trust Him. Trust Him. Embrace this relationship. And begin to have a different conversation. Will you pray with me? Dad, I want so much for every single person here to experience this. And I think of those who are here today, maybe for the first time, and maybe the first time they ever walked into a church, and they're hearing this idea that they can hear from you, and it can sound so strange. But Father, it's so beautiful. And you've given your life to make this possible. You gave your life. You gave your Son so that we could be your sons and daughters. And we keep falling into this trap that you gave your life to change us, or you gave your life to do all these other things, but you gave your life to bring us back to this relationship. You gave everything so that we could have this relationship. I just ask that you would do whatever it takes for your will to be done in our lives, that we would experience this relationship, that we'd leave behind this idea that somehow we're trying to get you to accomplish our plan, that we would see our plan for what it is, that's broken and misunderstood and small. And we would just trust you. You're so trustworthy. We just want to trust you. In Jesus' name.